Good morning.
What a beautiful day for us to gather here as we celebrate abiding in God's love. Good to see that the sun is shining this past week, and you know you're from Wisconsin when it's 70 degrees and cloudy and you're a little sunburnt the next day. I don't know, it's just part of our people's struggle, I guess. We do have livers of steel, so it compensates. A few announcements before we get started. Thanks to all who participated in our National Day of Prayer on Thursday. For me, it was really cool. This is my first experience in New Philadelphia, getting to see over 100 people show up as we prayed for our community, our government, Indian Valley, and Chloe Martin got to perform a wonderful performance of God Bless America, and you saw 8 different people from the community pray for our community. And the one really neat thing about that is only 2 of those were clergy. Some of them were like Steve Mastin. If you know Steve, he's a member of Dover, and he owns all the Wendy's in the local area, so he prayed for all the businesses. And the superintendent from the Indian Valley School District prayed for all the schools, all the students, and all the teachers. And it really was a community effort of faith, and something that we should really enjoy, because not all communities get to see such a celebration and gathering. Please don't forget, our Bob Evans Fellowship Night is tomorrow at 6 p.m., Our trustees will be meeting at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Next week, as we celebrate Mother's Day, we get to celebrate a special service as we have a Mother's Day love feast. So that'll be a real treat, and please don't miss that. Cares and Prayers will meet this Tuesday at 1:30. We will meet in the church office since it is Election Day, and our fellowship hall will be occupied with voting. Ohio Means Jobs is having a job fair at the Monroe Center in New Philadelphia from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Friday, May 11th. That is just a community announcement, so if that's something you're interested in, or you have a family member or a loved one who's looking for employment, I think that would be a great opportunity for them to seek out. Tuesday, May 15th, we will have our Dine and Donate at Texas Roadhouse to support our mission trip to Texas. Emily, what were the time frames? The time frames switched on that? Okay. Jacob, are you waving, or do you want to make a public announcement? Profession of faith? Okay. So 3 to 10, Texas Roadhouse, May 15th, if you can join us. We would love to have you there. Great opportunity to support our community mission. Please don't forget, Sweep the Streets will be May 25th, 26th, and 27th in Dover, meeting at the Lutheran Church on the Square at 10:45 p.m. If you have any questions, ask Floyd or Delene about that. And please don't forget, Lunch Bunch will be at Arby's today following worship. Any other announcements at this time? Yeah, Jackie.
I am looking, you said about the love feast. I am looking for a few people to make the sugar cakes and love feast for next week. The blue thing, after the
Thank you, Jackie. So if you want to help her with sugar cake, that would be greatly appreciated. Any other announcements at this time? All right, let us stand and greet one another. Good morning, Paige. Good morning, Letitia. Good morning, Jacob. Good morning, Nicholas. Good morning, Kira. Good morning, McKenna. Good morning, Rylan. How you doing? Good morning, Jim.
Make sure you grab your lovely red.
Good morning, Randy. Morning, Becky.
You get that yellow.
It's a battle. Morning, Ron.
Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory.
No, wait. I already have a yellow.
There you go.
Just in slow motion for you. Good morning, Paula. Morning, Ross. Morning, Tiff. Morning, Aubrey. Morning, Carolyn.
She's right there. I can see her shining.
I'll give you twice because I love you so much. Morning, Joyce. Morning, Tim. Morning, Floyd.
Yes. You have just to catch her. Just
morning.
Morning.
Morning. Morning.
She's coming.
Because she's blonde and it sticks out.
I'm sorry.
her mother.
You can stand back. You don't have to stay with your mother up here.
She's not paying any attention.
Wait, wait, Kira, take her place.
Oh! We replaced her.
Can I borrow your bolt, sir?
Yes, please.
Don't know where mine is. Oh, here we go.
Especially with only one bell.
You may remain seated as we join together in the watchword of the week. And our watchword of the week for this week comes from the 98th Psalm, the 4th verse. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Amen. Matches.
There you go, Patricia.
Amen.
For the call of worship. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things.
The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations.
He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel.
May all the ends of the earth see the salvation of our God.
Please remain standing as we join together to sing new songs of celebration render.
turn to page 90 in your hymnal for the liturgy for Easter. The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Sing this aloud, proclaim to the ends of all the earth.
The Lord has set his people free.
We are given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading.
Praise, honor, glory, and power to the one seated on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever.
Jesus was handed over to death for our sins,
and was raised to life for our justification.
Then what can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or hardship? Can persecution, hunger, nakedness, peril, or sword?
No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us.
For we are convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come,
nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life.
For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his.
We do not live to ourselves, we do not die to ourselves. If we live, it is for the Lord that we live, and if we die, it is for the Lord that we die.
So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For Christ died, rose from death, and lives again in order to see the Lord of the living and of the dead.
We do not want you to be in any doubt about those who have died, or to grieve over them as others who have no hope.
For since we believe that Jesus died, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died.
What we are saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable.
What is sown as perishable
is raised imperishable.
What is sown in dishonor
is raised in glory.
What is sown in weakness
is raised in power.
What is sown in a physical body
is raised a spiritual body.
Then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Please stand. That are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are of the earth.
For we have died, and our lives are hidden with Christ in God.
God of peace, who brought back the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant.
Make us complete in everything good, so that we may see your will, working among us all that is pleasing in your sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Before we share our offering together, some of you might have thought it was a little bit strange that we did our Easter liturgy today, since today is not Easter Sunday. But it serves as a good reminder that Easter is not just one day in our calendar, but it is a season, it is a way of life. It is a great way for us to be reminded that every single Sunday is supposed to be a little Easter, a little celebration of what God has done for us and how much God loves for us. And in that spirit, as we remember how much God does for each one of us, let us give of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Please rise. Let us pray together the unison prayer of dedication. Dear Savior,
help us to focus on the gift of your redeeming love. When we feel like we're wasting our time, talents, and treasures, help us to remember the human greatest sacrifice of all. May we seek to share the love you gave us with every holy person we encounter.
Amen. You may be seated. In our prayers this week, we have a lot to be prayerful about and to count blessings for and to raise concerns about. We continue to pray for harmony in our nation and in our country as we celebrated our National Day of Prayer. We also remember that this Tuesday is an election day in Ohio, and we pray for peace and stability and for not only our current leaders but for our future leaders, that they do what is a godly ministry in whatever they are called to do. We offer sympathy of resurrection hope for James Stafford's step-grandfather. We continue to pray for Jim Schaefer, who has been recovering from a meniscus tear. It's good to have him back in worship, along with Rick Swaldo, who continues to be receiving chemotherapy treatments. And we continue to uphold both of them in our prayers. We remember Lynn Carpetta, who is at Northwoods at Dover, and just keep her in your hearts and minds as we remember our homebound and those who are in nursing care. It was great to see her at our quarter auction and to see her lively and vibrant, and please keep her in your prayers. And we ask that you keep Janie Martin in your prayers, Ron Martin's mother, who has been going through some surgeries at Mercy in Canton and still waiting for some discernment and prayer with that, but she seems to be doing well and responding well, and we continue to keep her and your family in prayer as you go through this challenging time. And we also put McKenna Cannon in prayer, who cut her finger recently at work. McKenna, you want to wave and say hi to everybody with that lucky finger? I jokingly told her mother that we're renaming your hands Platform 9 and 3 quarters because you're just missing the tip on your... I worked a Harry Potter joke into this prayer concerns. I feel very proud of myself. Also, I asked Linda's cousins, Linda Bennington's cousins, who were able to be at her birthday party. We give thanks for that. I know Linda was just relishing in all the people that were there to celebrate with her and people who came from New York to be with her. And we celebrate with you as well as you celebrate your birthday. And I want to uplift a prayer concern. I want to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to go to our clergy retreat that we had in Maryland this past week. It was a wonderful opportunity for me to put some names to faces. I got to meet Jay Petrella and have a nice conversation with him. I got to meet Sue Koenig, and we had a conversation, and we're convinced that we might be the biggest height differential in pastoral changes in the history of the Meridian Church. And it really was a great opportunity to refresh, and I really thank you for that opportunity. Let us take some time in silence as we invite God into this time of prayer. God, we are so thankful for you. We are so thankful that you are present in our lives, that you are working things for good, that you are the spring of life. And we give you thanks for the new life around us, for the flowers that are beginning to blossom, for the sunlight that is beginning to appear, for the vibrancy and new life that we are seeing around us. We give you thanks. But gracious God, we realize that there are many people in our lives facing difficult circumstances, people who are having surgeries treatments, test results, people who have lost a loved one. Gracious God, help us to remember that no matter where we are on our journey, you surround us with love in all times, in all places. And gracious God, we pray for peace and harmony in our country. But we realize that what makes us great is that we are different people with many different beliefs, religions, and standpoints, but you are the one that unites each and every one of us. And we all get to call you children of God, and that we should remember that and love each other equally, no matter where we stand on whatever issue. And gracious God, we ask that you carry the spirit of life and light into our world, and that we get to look to you for guidance, for discipleship, for grace, and help us to remember that when we don't know what to do, to just look to you, because you remind us to love our neighbor and to love our God, and everything beyond that is just details. And gracious God, we confess to you that we have sinned by what we have done and what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. But still, you surround us with love and grace in all we do. And we ask that you help us to live in that spirit of unconditional love and lay down our lives for our God and for each other. For we know that love is the strongest gift that we all receive, and that we should share it every chance we get. In your name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading is 1 John chapter 5, 1 through 6. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith, who overcomes the world. Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth.
Thank you, Paige. Good job. Our gospel today comes from the 15th chapter of John, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friend, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. May the reading of God's holy word reach your hearts, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time I invite the children to come forward for the children's moment. Come on up. Everybody's got energy today. So how's everybody doing this morning? Eh? Good? Oh, good. How are we doing this morning?
Good.
Good. There we go. So what we're going to talk about is some of the things we do in the summer. Who here is counting down the days until when school is done? How many days, Jacob? How many days till Claymont's done?
About
20. 20? Okay. McKenna, how many days?
Next week's final week.
Ooh. Praise him. Rylan, how about you? 16 and a half, Nick? Okay. Aubrey, how many days of school you got? Do you have school yet? You're just relaxing at home. Okay. Got preschool. So what we're going to talk about is one of my favorite things to do during the summer. And that, you know what that is? Go on vacation. Who likes to go on vacation? Who here likes to go on vacation out? Do any of you guys have a favorite place to go vacation? Paige, where do you like to go? Atwood? Okay, Nick? Disney World. That's a pretty nice place to go. Disney World? That would be a good one. Put that on your bucket list. Would you like to go to Disney World too, Aubrey?
Yeah. And
hang out with your mom? That would be a good one. Yeah, Paige. Kennywood? That's a good place. Go on the amusement rides. Oh, the beach is a fun place to go on vacation too. So what I want to talk about is when you guys plan your family schedule for what you're going to do, we're going to vote on let's pretend if we were one big family. So the first day you're on vacation, you want to go to the amusement park. Your mom and dad, what do they want to do? They want to go fishing. Your grandparents, they want to play cards. And your siblings, they also want to go to the amusement park. So who wants to go to the amusement park? Who wants to go to the amusement park? Who wants to go fishing with mom and dad? Who wants to do that? Nobody wants to go fishing? Okay, there's some votes. How about who wants to play cards with their grandparents? But you can only pick one for the day. And then siblings, they also want to go to the amusement park. But the next day, guess what? You got a whole new list of activities. And you want to go mini golfing. Your mom and dad want to go to a craft fair. Your grandparents still want to play cards. And your siblings want to take a nap. So who wants to go mini golfing? That's the one thing you're going to pick for the day. Who wants to go mini golfing? Okay. Who wants to go to a craft fair? Yep, there's some people out there go to the craft fair. Some people still want to play cards with grandma and grandpa out there. Okay. And then who wants to take a nap with their siblings? There's a lot of people that want to do that. Okay, praise. I could feel that energy level today. So here's the third day of your vacation. Here are your choices. You want to go go-kart racing. Your mom and dad want to go canoeing. Your grandparents still want to play cards. And your siblings want to go go-kart racing. So who wants to go go-kart racing? Who wants to go canoeing? No? Who wants to play cards with grandma and grandpa on the third day? All right, here's your last day. These are your choices. You want to go to a water park. Your mom and dad want to take a nap. Your grandparents still want to play cards. And your siblings want to play at the lake. So what do you want to do? Who wants to go to the water park? You want to go to the water park? Who wants to take a nap on the last day of vacation so you're rested when you go back? Nobody? We got our naps in, we're good to go, apparently. Would anybody want to play cards with grandma and grandpa on the last day? Not too many people? How about who wants to play in the lake the last day? Yes, because you know if you play in the lake, that's for free, so maybe you got a chance at ice cream that night. If you're an older sibling, you've thought this through, haven't you? So do you guys think, by the way we voted, we would have done everything we wanted to do that day? We would have gone to the amusement park, we would have gone mini golfing, we would have done go-karts, we would have done the water park. Do you think that would have been fair? No? Why are you shaking your head, Ryan? That's true. We didn't. Yeah, Nick.
Like, do something.
I think that's a great idea for how to schedule a family vacation. And I'll tell you, when I was your age, I was somebody who wanted to do all the things that I wanted to do. And I didn't care what anybody else wanted to do. Do you think that was very Christian? No. So sometimes we got to remember that, you know what, the most Christian things we can do is do the things that the people around us love to do, because that makes them happy and that makes them smile. And you know what you'll find? You can get enjoyment out of doing those things too. Because you know what I love to do now? I love to kayak. I love to be on the water, even though I didn't like it when I was 6 or 7, but my dad taught me that. And you know what also I like to do? I love to play cards, because my grandma and grandma taught me how to do that. They taught me how to play rummy, so I'm going to teach my kids someday how to do that. And it's all because I did something that the people around me love to do. So that's what our lesson is going to be today, that sometimes the most Christian thing we can do is to do the things that the people around us love to do. So I want you to remember that. So sometimes if you're doing something that seems like it's a drag or it's not so fun, remember that there's probably somebody in your family who's enjoying that. And they probably think about that. Like when you guys are watching your TV shows and it's like Pokemon number 6, or it's like the movie that you've watched for like the 12th time but you really love that movie, think about how your parents are doing that for you in those moments, because they love how you respond to those things. So let's have a moment of prayer before we go. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we give you thanks for these young people. They are the heartbeat and the footsteps of our church. We ask that you supply them with laughter and joy as they finish their school years and they finish strongly, and help them to enjoy the moments they get together with their family, to appreciate all the things they learn from their grandma and grandpas, their aunts and uncles, and their moms and dads, and their brothers and sisters, and help them to remember that we are all family as children of God. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, grab a snack, and then you can head on back. There you go. Ooh, you got a sticker. Pretty cool. Very good. At this time, you may remain seated as we join together in song, as we sing the one of the old traditional favorites, What a Friend We Have in... I think it's What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Yes. jump into our sermon, one of the reasons I like to sing that hymn in worship is because it has become so synonymous, as the 23rd Psalm has, with burials and with welcoming people into life eternal. So it's good to remember that that song has beautiful theology about how Jesus is always a friend and always present in our lives. And it's important we hear that in all stages of our lives and not just at the end. And I think that is one of the reasons that hymn speaks so loudly, because it's very simple and concise about getting to the point about the friendship and the love that we feel from God. So let us take a moment in prayer right now as we invite God into our message. Gracious God, we ask that you open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears to your word today, that you inspire us to carry out your greatest commandment, to love each other. And we are so thankful for your presence in your lives. In your name we pray. Amen. So what, our biggest question that we have to ponder today is, what is the greatest lesson that Jesus can teach us? What is the greatest lesson that Jesus can teach us? For Moravians, we struggle naturally to come up with an answer, because this is one of those theological questions, I believe, that we are called to seek out God in the process of asking the question rather than focusing on finding the right answer. Because what is the greatest lesson that Jesus can teach us? Because we may not find the answer to that question, but when we seek out that question, we might find something far more important in that struggle. We might find God, because that's where God will be. Jesus, in this text, preaches that love of neighbor is not just a part of the human experience, but it is the essence of why we were created. John 15, 12, 13 said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And the important thing when we look at this scripture is that it has a very literal meaning to Jesus and his disciples. And the disciples did not know this at this time. They did not know that Jesus was headed to the cross to lay down his life for not only all of us, but for his friends, for the people he cared near and dear about. And it also later on had a very literal meaning for the disciples, because if you followed what happened to the disciples after Jesus ascended into heaven, as we celebrate Ascension Day next week, is that many of them, almost all of them, went to the cross for carrying the message of Jesus Christ. So they lived these words, that no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And as we approach Memorial Day, it's important to remember this as we think about those who serve our country. Because for them, this gospel text also has a very literal meaning. They know people in their lives, in their platoons, in their lives, who did that, who sacrificed, who laid down their lives for the people around them. And if any of you have been a part of a military funeral, this is a very popular text for them, because it speaks to what a soldier goes through in their lives. And it's really encapsulated in this scripture. And one of my favorite examples of John 15 was, I heard the story about the chaplain at Normandy this past week, and they were interviewing him on a TV show, I believe. And one of the reporters went up to him, and he asked him, "You were the chaplain at Normandy. You had millions of people on that beach. You had Jews, you had Muslims, you had Catholics, you had Protestants, you had Episcopalians. You had everything you could think of on that beach. Everything, every list that could be checked off. So what did you say to these people when you went up to them?" And the chaplain just looked him in the eye and he said, "I said, my name is the chaplain. How can I help you?" Because it was more important to say that I love you, that I can help you, than to figure out if I had the right box checked for you in that moment. And I thought, what a Moravian response to that. Is I don't care what box you're checking off, but just let me know how I can help you, how I can serve you. And imagine if all of us carried that attitude into our own lives instead of worrying about who's aligned in our own bunker. And this text can also be very metaphorical for us. Because what do we surrender in our own lives for the love of others? What do we sacrifice for our friends? Perhaps you are a spouse, or your spouse, or a family member you know has sacrificed something from their own dream to support you. And let's just say, for example, today, you were somebody who married a young man who was in seminary, and you had this idea of living in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania your entire life, and one day he said to you, "What do you think about Ohio?" "I love you very much." And that's a very literal example of the sacrifices you made, and many of you have maybe done that with a career move or something. Maybe one of you went to college while the other one worked. That's what happened in my family. When my mom decided that she felt called to be an occupational therapist, my dad worked in a factory to help put her through school. And he stuck through that his entire life because the love of his wife was more important than his own personal career goals and ambitions. And it is a gift when we get to do that. And I'm sure many of you at one point or another have done that. Especially if you've had children and there's different sacrifices you've made. Like if you're a father and you've been saving up for that GT Mustang or that pimped out truck that is just beautiful and you find out your wife is pregnant, what happens to that vehicle, fellas? It becomes a minivan, huh? And we all make sacrifices for the people that we love. And the beautiful thing about that is that it is a gift from God when we can support a loved one who has passions far different than our own. And I think about this when I'm coupling or when I'm counseling young couples. Because it's not the couples that come into me and they agree on all their likes, all their hobbies, and all their interests. Those aren't the couples that necessarily succeed. But it's the couples that sometimes have vastly different hobbies and interests, but they are able to get joy out of supporting their spouse through them or to see them succeed doing that. Those are the couples that thrive. Because there's never going to be a moment in a marriage, a friendship, or a relationship where you are going to agree on something 100% on every single issue. And sacrifice is such an important part of that. And I think about that. I think of husbands who go to operas for the smile on their wife's faces. I think about the first time Emily took me to a Bach concert, and I learned that this concert was not in English for an hour and a half. So sometimes hearing impairments are a blessing from God. But it meant a lot to me to be able to support Emily in seeing something that she loves seeing. And I think about the wives who endure baseball games. And the awful line at the ladies' room that seems is always a mile wide whenever I ever see it. But you endure that because you love to see the smile on your husband or your son or your daughter's face who really enjoys baseball. You make that sacrifice. And when we sacrifice, we are doing the godly thing. And then most of all, I think of parents who endure the noise and the craziness of a place like Chuck E. Cheese. Oh, God. That is a place that needs a lot of prayer, I think, folks. But you do that for the sake of your children. And I think that's truly unconditional love when you're willing to put up with all that craziness, all the weirdness and difference, and you know how sugared up people can be in those situations. But you do that because you love your child, and you're willing to endure that, to give up a Saturday or a Friday night, because you see how happy that makes them. That's how we should live our lives, is that the happiness of the people around us is far more important than our own. And the writer Peter Wood said, "Would I be pushed too hard to suggest that a contemporary reading of Jesus' word would be there is no greater unconditional love than when someone gets their ego out of the way of another, when somebody gets their ego out of the way of another. And that's what Jesus carries in his message today. To surrender your ego and to live for your God and for your neighbors. And I think about this as we think about our church community. Wouldn't it be awesome to see our church where the older generation are pushing for creative worship services because they see how happy it makes young people? And then the young people in our church, they're the ones pushing for more traditional hymns and liturgies because they know how happy it makes their parents and their grandparents when they hear those. What type of a church would that be? I think for me, that would be the church that I would want to be a part of, where people put the love of the people around them on a higher pedestal than their own needs. Because when personal ego dies, so do the divisions between us. And love of God reigns supreme. And remember these words from Jesus and carry them in your hearts. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Amen. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we humbly give you thanks for the love that you allow us to experience. Not only the love that we get to feel from you, but the love that we get to share. And when our ego and our own selfish want gets in the way, help us to remember the joy that we get from serving others, from helping others, and living your word every chance we can. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in song. His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.